The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "You see how it is written that the Christ would suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that in his name repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to this. And now I am sending down to you what the Father has promised. Stay in the city then until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he took them out as far as the outskirts of Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. Now as he blessed them, he withdrew from them and was carried up to heaven. They worshipped him and then went back to Jerusalem full of joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising God. The Gospel of the Lord. Ascension Day has always been, for some people, a day that seems to make our faith airborne, as it were, almost like too heavenly-minded as to be of no earthly use. Like sometimes we say, some people can be like that. And St. Luke's story of Jesus going up to heaven 40 days after the resurrection was, for the poet Stevie Smith, what she called one of those beautifully painted fairy stories pretending to be true. But it's not a pretense to be true, it is the truth. But sometimes it's the way it's portrayed. If Ascension Day were to be renamed the Feast of the Ascended Christ, then a lot of the problem element would be removed, because the emphasis would be on the abiding truth rather than the event, which, if taken literally as one of a sequence of events, obstructs in some ways the truth it intends to convey. Because a writer writing, of course, in the first century was very different before we had space travel, and do we tend to think of Jesus as like a first astronaut hurtling through the sky? That's not in a way what Luke was intending. Luke didn't say he takes his rightful place back with the Father. And so anyway, what I like to think the ascension about is, A, that his rightful place with the Father, but also the glorious availability of Christ everywhere. Because while he was in Galilee, he couldn't be in Jerusalem. When in Nazareth, he wasn't or couldn't be in Bethlehem. But now the risen, ascended, glorified Christ can be with us forever. He's available for all of us at all times, in all places, everywhere. That Christ of our faith is abiding and accessible for all points. And there is a sense in which he's the indestructible point of reference beyond history. It's, as it were, the whole of history going through what we know as an omega point. If you think the Paschal candle, the beginning, the alpha, and then the whole of history going through to the omega point, the beginning and the end, Christ, the risen, ascended, glorified Christ. And in a way, that's what the New Testament writers want you to understand. Not the Old Testament, the New Testament. It wants you to understand that, because all of them were writing after the resurrection. They were writing in the light of their experience of the risen, ascended, glorified Christ, but the Christ who was still with them. And in a way, this life of Jesus that had ended in ignominious disgrace and death is that life which has been vindicated and lifted high. And the evidence is the continuing power that he exercises over our lives today. And that is the truth. That his power is still with us. It's the risen Lord that's here. It's the risen Lord that comes in his bread and wine to become his body and blood to nourish and feed his people. It's the risen Lord that's in the sacraments. It's the risen Lord that's with us in our prayers. It's the risen Lord leading, guiding, who is the way, the truth, the life for us. And so there's a great connection between that Jesus of history 2,000 years ago and the Christ, the Jesus of our faith here and now with us. And in a way, St. Luke is wanting us to make that connection. But as I say, for a first century writer, the only way he can portray it for someone whom the earth was considered flat and the heavens above is the way he could portray it. The more philosophical John, writer of the fourth gospel, also makes the same connection, but in a different way. He presents Jesus as saying these words to his disciples before his death, "I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. And again, I leave this world and go to the Father." It's the same belief, but it's presented in that sort of slightly different way. And you might want to see it really as like the globe that we have in our classrooms for the children to get the grasp of what the world is like, so therefore there's the globe. You'll all remember the globe in your classroom, schoolroom days. But also you had maps. They both tell you the same thing, but one's flat and the other is round. Or it's a bit like, think of an orange, and you take the peel off and lay it flat, it's still the orange and it's still there, and it's telling the same thing. One's round, one's flat. But the message is the same. So it is with Luke and with John. I've come from the Father. I've done my work. I go back to the Father. But Luke also gives us one or two other clues about this simple story. It's just as symbolic in the way it speaks of them being removed from them with the cloud, because, of course, the cloud has always had great significance for the presence of God. Moses goes up the mountain and the cloud comes and covers him, the presence of God. Jesus goes up the mountain at Transfiguration and the cloud and the voice comes from the cloud, "This is my Son." So the cloud, the presence of God, is where Jesus goes back to, as it were. And that's no more symbolic than is next Sunday we shall hear of the tongues of fire and the rushing mighty wind. We know fire, we know rushing mighty wind, but the way Luke portrays it for the Pentecost is using those in that metaphorical term. And he's doing the same today, but it's trying to drink in the truth. The truth Jesus takes that redeemed humanity to the Godhead. That's why they saw his risen body, and his risen body is the redeemed humanity. There at the heart of the Godhead is humanity, but redeemed humanity. He has raised our human nature to the throne at God's right hand. And there he ever lives to make intercession for us, and through the power of the Spirit guides and directs our lives. Maybe words of Irenaeus to take away. The glory of God is a man fully alive. The life of man is the vision of God.